Welcome to the Zuch and Wild ACC preview. Going to be going over top storylines of the conference, going into each team in depth, and then giving out our predictions. And I don't know if you guys can, if you're watching on the YouTube, you can see my shirt. It is a Trailer Park Boys shirt. And I think there's a lot of similarities between the show Trailer Park Boys that you can watch on Netflix and the ACC. You know, it might seem a little greasy from the outside. You know, maybe it seems like a lowbrow show. And, you know, I thought that about the ACC. And I did this deep dive. And, guys, there are some dark horses. There are some great talent, great storylines. I'm way more excited than I thought I was going to be doing some research. I don't know about you, Zach.
Oh, definitely. The ACC has kind of brought together like the band of misfit toys of teams. They brought in the two teams from, or not the only two, but the two Power Five teams from California that no other conference wanted.
Yeah, no, it's been weird.
The teams from Texas that nobody wanted.
I'll just say, it is the ACC. But from one of the team stadiums, you can see the Pacific Ocean. I just want to say that. You can see the Pacific Ocean from Memorial Stadium in Berkeley. And it definitely is the weirdest newcomers out of any conference. This is the weirdest newcomers. And it's the funniest newcomers. Because you have – I also think it's the most disdain for the newcomers. Am I wrong saying that?
No, I think you're exactly right. I mean, it's – out of all their newcomers, I can't think of anyone who, like, thinks that one of those teams really, like, deserve to be in the conference realignment.
No one. It's just like a, almost like a money thing, I felt like. And it's definitely, you could see it resonating on Twitter. You can see it resonating in the way that, like, players are interacting and kind of like how Cal and Stanford and SMU especially have been like treated. I mean, we'll even get more when we talk about SMU, the way they got into the conference. You can see that right before it even starts. But on the field wise in this year, the 2024 season for the ACC, it might be a lot of the same overall. It's who can catch the big dogs. There's three teams that look like they are the best, and it is the two teams in Florida, FSU and Miami, and Clemson with our boy Dabo Swinney. And it's who can catch them. Literally, who can catch them. There's a couple of dark horses, but like it usually is, it's those three teams and it's everyone else.
Oh, yeah. It's been those three teams. I mean, it's kind of been two teams, really. And throw in, like, Louisville or Duke randomly, like a team who kind of randomly makes a run. But everyone says Clemson is done, so we'll get into it and see if we think the same thing. Dude,
Clemson might be done. Yeah, we're going to start getting into the single team previews. And before we get into that, I just want to make sure everyone go hit subscribe to us on Instagram, subscribe to us on YouTube. Thank you everyone for listening. We have other previews that we've done for every single other power conference before. So if you're an SEC fan and you just stumbled upon this, go check out our SEC. Same thing with Big 12 and Big 10. So thank you all for listening. And now let's get into probably the best, weirdest head coaching change in the ACC. Bill O'Brien era begins at Boston College. And I know you're laughing, but Bill O'Brien has a solid track record of being a good college coach.
He does. Ooh, so with Boston College is another one of those. It's just like weird. Like, the last time I ever remember them being like really good is the year, Matt Ryan years, when they got to like number two in the nation.
Yeah, no, it's been weird for Boston College. I mean, I think the best thing about Boston College, the first thing that pops into my mind is the "What's better than this? Guys being dudes" video. Like, that's the best thing. Is the "What's better than this?" But you know, they return a 1,000-yard QB rusher in Thomas Castellanos. They added some decent performers in the portal. The thing for Boston College this year is the defense was towards the bottom in the country in almost every single statistic there is. It's simply not going to win games. Their win total, I think, for the year is 4.5, according to ESPN Bet, as of the day of this recording, August 6th. So subject to change when this comes out. But 4.5, it seems fair, but I could definitely see Boston College sneaking in with 5 wins this year. because I do trust Bill O'Brien to be a good coach and kind of turn this program around.
Well, the thing with Bill O'Brien is, you know, at least, I don't know, like, at least with them, I would think they'll be coached really well.
It's a talent thing with them. The trouble thing for him is Bill O'Brien. I think Boston College fans know. Last thing I'll say about this is they're in for a rebuild. But I will say, like, the future's looking up. Like, this season might be a grind, but it's gonna be a fun grind. You guys got Bill O'Brien now. He's gonna be good. He saved Penn State. Maybe he can save Boston College.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, Boston College has always been funny. Like, I cannot think it's, I want to say it was Jeff Jagodzinski or something like that, but he was like
the most Northeastern really name of all time.
Yeah, he like interviewed, they're like, don't interview for another job, we're gonna fire you. Like, yeah. Did anyone like 10 games and 9 games? He's like, okay, whatever, an interview for another job, and they got rid of him. And since then, they have had, I had to bring this up because it's funny. This is a list of football coaches.
I bet they got some absolute studs on this list.
Yes. It's great. Okay, so an interesting one here. Tom Coughlin. Tom O'Brien was there. And then since, and I'm not going to include, like, the guys who coached 1 year, but, like, Tom Coughlin, a pretty good coach. Tom O'Brien was pretty good, like, coaching at NC State. Jeff Jagodzinski, he went 20-8 and got fired. Crazy. Frank Spisani, that was another hilarious.
Yep, that was
the guy with the mustache. Jeff Halfley, and now they're at Bill O'Brien. So, like, you are definitely from the Northeast if you get the Boston College job.
Oh, yeah. You just love Mass. You're a Masshole. That's a Masshole job. Yeah. All right. Let's flip coasts from seeing the Atlantic Ocean to seeing the Pacific Ocean. Now, everyone, I brought a prop. If you don't know, I'm from the Bay Area. And right here is my Sonny Dyke signed Cal football. Read it and weep right there. You know, when I got this football, Sonny Dykes, I really thought he was going to turn things around. Turns out, can't turn things around when you got the worst defense in the country. But this Cal team, that was just a funny little stat that I wanted to show our listeners, is that I have a Sonny Dykes signed Cal football. That's one of the most sicko things I think anyone can have. It seriously is.
It is sicko, but do you know who is going to be in a more sicko world this year?
Who?
And I thought about this about a couple hours ago when I was driving. So obviously now, you know, teams get on a plane and fly, right? Like, a big fuss has been made about, oh, an Olympic sports, Cal is going to have to fly to Miami and Fort and mm-hmm. Tallahassee and Louisville. That to me is not as big of a deal. You can get on a plane and get pretty much anywhere relatively quick nowadays. However, mm-hmm. the guys who drive the equipment truck.
Oh, we're going to have to leave a day early. Yeah.
Oh, my God. They go to Auburn first. Then Cal has a weird schedule. Then they have a bye week, so they don't play again until the 21st. And they go to Florida State. They go to Pittsburgh. They go. I'm making sure this is the right schedule.
Oh, my God.
I know it's. I was looking the wrong. Okay. Sorry. Wrong. So go to Auburn, home against San Diego State, at Florida State. Home against Miami, at Pittsburgh, home against NC State, home again, back to North Carolina to play Wake Forest, home again, and then to SMU. I remember our equipment guys at BSU, like, they would have to leave. I mean, you have a couple guys who you drive straight through, but, like, when we played UConn, they had to leave, like, Tuesday or Wednesday, if I remember correctly. So I don't even know. Like, those guys are going to be on the road.
That's crazy.
So
leaving Tuesday and Wednesday for the Mountain West. Like that's from, like, Boise to, like, Vegas. Or Boise to Fresno. Like, it's not even close to the far drive. Yeah, no, that's going to be tough for them. It's going to be tough for the team. And especially with Cal this year on the field, they're going to go as far as Jaden Ott can carry them. Like, I mean, I'll tell you what, he's been real fun to play with at NCAA. Probably like my favorite running back to play with, if I'm being honest with you. But, you know, they have a solid team. It's just, can solid in the Pac-12 be good as solid in the ACC with that rigorous schedule?
I don't know. I want Cal to be good. But just that is, I do think the travel will play a little bit in it. I don't think it's going to play as much as people are implying that it will. Because like I said, you know, you get on a plane and you fly back. It's not that, unless you start running into delays and stuff, it's not that hard. Like, we've all flown, you know, before, where, and it's fine. Like, you've been to Europe, I've been to Europe. Yeah, it's a long flight, but you get there and you even have jet lag over there, and it's
definitely,
you get a little bit of sleep and you're good to go. But with them, yeah, like, it's as far as Jaden Ott can take them. Cause, and like last year, they were weird because they're kind of, Justin Wilcox is a defensive guy, and they got shredded like four or five times last year defensively, and like we're scoring like 40 something points.
No, it's interesting. The Wilcox era has been one of the weirdest things, because, you know, they've kind of like beat their rival again, and they're never really bad. But I do think it's starting to get a little make or break for Wilcox. I think he's on the hot seat. I think if he doesn't go bowl eligible this year, that they do get rid of him. And even if he maybe goes barely bowl eligible and it's not up to their standard, I think he does. So I think for Cal, you got to get to like 7 wins maybe. Their win total is at 5.5. 7-8 wins, I think Wilcox's job is safe.
But, yeah, I would agree. They've got to swing the pendulum one way or the other. Like, you can't just keep going 6-7 or 7-6. Like, you gotta,
they have to punch through the ceiling of mediocrity. That's what I would say.
Yeah.
Speaking of punching through a ceiling or punching through a clock, hickory dickory dock, the mouse ran up the clock. Coach Sweeney's got that drip, and now he's on TikTok. That's the best. So we're going to talk about Clemson. Clemson, another big boy in the ACC. For those of you who haven't seen the Dabo Sweeney video, please watch it. It's one of the funniest things ever. I think a lot of Clemson fans would like if Dabo Sweeney focused on the transfer portal a little bit more, or instead of making TikToks. But Clemson, this year for Clemson is going to be, can the oil battle the water? Can Dabo stick a middle finger to everyone who tells it he can't do it his way in this new era? And if he can, you know, old Dabo's coming back and he's going to be in everyone's grill about it.
He will. He will. I'll put it to you this way. If Clemson have their schedule pulled up too, let me take a look to see who this would be against. Make sure I have it right. So, if they are undefeated when it comes time to play, yep, that's what I thought it was, South Carolina, that game is in Clemson, he will sprint down that field before the team faster than we've ever seen him go before.
Yeah. He's going to be sprinted. He might have to trade in those cotton khakis for some like Lululemon or Nike Dry Fit khakis, because, you know, he needs that extra stretch. But on the field, you know, Clemson, you know, they're actually poised to have another elite defense this year. It's kind of been a staple of the Clemson era, is having these elite defenses. And they're going to go as far as Cade Klubnik can take them, you know, almost like Jaden Ott, but to a higher ceiling, in my opinion. Because if Cade Klubnik can play third team all ACC ball, or honorable mention all ACC ball, they're a playoff team. 100% they're a playoff team.
Well, and we know with them playing Georgia in week one, the takes will be flying. Win or if they win, it's going to be Clemson is back. Like, like, you will see Monday morning, were we wrong to mistrust Dabo Sweeney? Like,
yeah.
But if they lose, you know, it won't matter if, you know, if they lose, maybe if they lose like 27-24, but if it's like they lose to Georgia like 34-24 and it's like quasi-competitive, but Clemson never leaves, then everyone will be like, when is Clemson going to move on from Dabo Sweeney? Like,
I don't think you can. My thing is, you can never force him out. I think it's like, I mean, at least you can't force him out.
He made you irrelevant.
No, exactly.
He made you a relevant program. You've won two national titles, and like before him, you were just like mediocre under Tommy Bowden. Like, that's what you were. When you were only relevant because you played Florida State, and their head coach was Bobby Bowden until Dabo Sweeney got there. Like, no one can name any really great. Maybe Clemson fans can, but Sammy Watkins, the Hopkins. Freak that plays for the Cleveland Browns, like all of those guys, all came under Dabo.
It's for the Cleveland. Oh man, we were really. All the Clemson fans listening probably just did a 180 on us because we've been talking him up, and then we just come on, guys. He's allegedly, actually not allegedly, you know. It was. What are you gonna do? His muscles were sore, I guess. Hey. That's what he says. It's from who knows if it's true, but he's not the quarterback anymore. The Cove quarterback is Cade Klubnik, and it's really up to him.
And Clemson fans get a little bit like on edge, and I think people give them too much of a hard time. But yeah, like last year they were 9-4, not great. But the year before that, you know, 11-3, 10-3, 10-2. Or I mean, it's not like they have been just bad. Like they've been pretty good. You haven't won the national, like you haven't been playing in the national championship every year. Like you did for 4 or 5 years, but even in 2020, they went to the playoff, right? Yeah, they went to the semifinal and played Ohio State, the COVID year. So you've had a couple of off years. Like, it is going to happen. Like, you're not just going to sit there and.
It's going to happen. It is going to happen, and we're going to have to see how they go. Moving on to a team that's in the state just north of Clemson, the Duke Blue Devils. Question for the season is, how are they going to move on post Elko? Mike Elko obviously left to take that Texas A&M job. Manny Diaz staying in the ACC. This is his second chance. I think Manny knows second chances don't come around often. And am I crazy to think that Duke can be better than a lot of people think they are? And I want to hear your opinion first before I go into it.
So I think Duke could always kind of impress us people, but I don't find Manny Diaz that impressive. It's because, like, really, since maybe not when I first started watching football, but for a while now, like, he has kind of had, I would say, at least 10, like, he got hype at Texas, and then as being there at DC, and he got hype at, what was it? Not Temple.
Miami.
Mississippi State, he was there, like, Miami. He gets hype at a lot of places, and it's never, I think he is a good DC, but I don't think he is much more than a, like, good DC. I don't think he's like a great That's DC fair. Where I'm like, you know what? If I was the athletic director and a genie came and said, you get three wishes, a head coach, a defensive coordinator, and an offensive coordinator, you know who I would not have as my DC? Manny Diaz.
So. That's fair. I sub you in this. I think Malik Murphy has the wild card potential to explode. Now, I think he could fall flat on his face. I would not be surprised if Malik Murphy is just a worse version of Joe Milton. That could 100% be the case. But he could also be the dynamic quarterback that he was when he was coming out of high school, ranked so high. And they're only at 4.5 wins. I think if you're a betting man, which I'm not, I think that over win total, I mean, it's just 5 wins. I looked at their schedule, not super difficult. You know, they have a little bit of issues on the line, but it's like, Malik Murphy, I think, is one of those players that can really elevate them. He's an elevating potential type player. Again, could just be Joe Milton. He could. That's very well in the equation. very well in the equation, but we will see. All right, we are going to move on to what a lot of people think is the best team in the conference. That is the Florida State Seminoles, and they are the word I used after doing a little read through on them is retooled and rebuilt to fire up this season. You know, they did not end last year how they wanted to. They got embarrassed by a supreme leader, Kirby, who essentially used them as a an execution block example. Unfortunately for them, I think the 0-1 Hurricanes could have played that Kirby Smart team, and they might have lost, honestly, because that was a pissed off Georgia team. But they are back and retooled.
A team
they
got out for blood versus a team who did not want to. And Georgia fans can say whatever they want. That Florida State, like, you went undefeated in your Florida State. You didn't want to be playing in the non-playoff. Like, it's pretty 100%. Easy to.
100%. 100%. And there you got DJ Ugalele. I think I finally, after 4 years, that's the closest I'm going to get to pronouncing it until I hear the name again when I watch him on TV. But he's back, which is kind of weird. I don't think it's been talked about enough, but like, he was kind of like pushed out at Clemson, and now he's going to one of Clemson's biggest rivals. I think it's an underrated storyline of this season.
It is. It's going to be hilarious. Do they play at my, or sorry, is it at Florida State, or is it at Tallahassee, or is it in, at Clemson this year?
I see.
Because he is going to get some booze.
It is at Florida State. Saved by the Bell.
Okay.
So at Florida State. He'll be okay. But, you know, I looked it up.
I can see if Florida State beats Clemson, because Kirk Herbstreit always does this. That'll be like the perfect like Saturday night, you know, game for them. And I can, it'll like show him on the sidelines like the game's won. And Kirk Herbstreit will be like, and how about the win for that guy right there? I mean, think about it from his perspective. Like, you're forced out at Clemson, you go to Oregon State, and now you get to beat them and ruin their undefeated season. Man, he's got to be living life right now. That's going to happen.
Oh, my gosh. And then Chris Fowler will be like, well, on the day like he's had, I mean, 350 yards, 5 touchdowns. Oh, my gosh, that's perfect. And I can totally see the DJ little hands in the front part of the shoulder pads. But this is a stat I got you, a stat I got for you from Florida State. I got two ones that if you're a Florida State fan, you'll love it. 51% of starts have come from transfers in the last 2 years. Crazy. This is a team that retools fast and retools effectively. Another thing, last year, I think they were the only team, if I read this right, subject, we are not big J's, you know, we just get our facts from sometimes sketchy websites off the internet, but they were one of the only DB groups that allowed fewer completions than they had fewer completions than they had incompletions, which is crazy to think about. I think that bodes well. You know, I was looking this up. The only real question they have is at tight end. I mean, their top three returning tight ends didn't return. So, I mean, they are loaded across the board. They are loaded.
Yeah, they're good. I mean, Florida State, basically all my life has been pretty good. I know they, in the last few years under Bowden, and they weren't great, and there's a they don't discuss the Willie Taggart years or like that last year of Jimbo, but for the most part, Florida State has been, I was born in 94 and every year from like 89, I saw it the other day, like every year from like 89 to 2001 or 2003, something like that, Florida State finished in the top five. Was a little bit hard times after that, but they still won another national title under Jimbo, made the playoffs the next year, were just undefeated with Mike Norvell. So, like, they're Florida State's a very, very good program. They just have been – they're kind of stuck because you've had – in that – in a similar area, you've had Georgia get really good and Alabama's been really good and Florida's been good.
And Clemson's been good.
And Clemson's been good. So they kind of get overshadowed a little bit. And part of that is because Florida State had, you know, one of those runs that Georgia's on right now, or Alabama had. in a time where there was no 4-team or 12-team mm-hmm. playoff. Like, so they are a very good program. I don't like Florida State. They're a good program.
I like them a lot this year too. We're going to go to another program who I like a lot, but I don't know if they're going to do very well. It's the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets. Love the Yellow Jackets. Haynes King, another player that's really awesome to play with on NCAA.
How is he still around?
I don't know, but he's been really fun to play them in on NCAA and the uniforms. I wish I could play with the Russell Athletic uniforms. That's my one thing. Bring back the Russell Athletic uniforms, Georgia Tech. But he returns.
And the triple option.
Yes, and they do need to bring back the triple option. The thing with Georgia Tech is, man, their schedule is just tough, you know. And it's the rivalry game, but that Georgia game kills them. Like, it kills them. And I say that knowing that when they do finally beat Georgia, in however many years it takes them, it's going to be sweet because that's what rivalries are for. But they also have to play Notre Dame this year. I think they have to play a couple of tough, really ACC teams that they have to kind of run through. And the rest of the offense doesn't match Haynes King's explosiveness. Like, the wide receivers, one of the things I wrote down as their keys to success for next year is the wide receivers needs to match King's explosiveness. Another thing I wrote down is they allowed the most sacks in the ACC last year. Not good if you want to win football games. So they have some things to fix for Georgia Tech this year.
Protect the king. That should protect be the king. That you know that their offensive line coach has been, like, made that the motto. Yep.
Protect the king. Yeah. They might come out to, like, Triple H, like, King of Kings theme song if Haynes King starts going on a little run. You already know. But yeah, Georgia Tech 4.5 win total for the year. Look, I love Georgia Tech. Great mascot, some great players to come down there. Also great stadium in downtown Atlanta. It's just, I think it's going to be a tough year this year for them. I mean, it's going to be tough. I mean, they've had so many restarts, but unfortunately, there may be one ahead if they don't fix some things.
Yeah, I think we'll see a little bit more improvement on both sides of the football with them, but I don't know if it'll be enough to, like, be all that meaningful outside of something that means a little bit to their fans. So
yeah, no, I totally agree. Let's go on to the Louisville Cardinals. It sounds like it should be a baseball team name, but people forget that this team made the ACC championship last year, and they return some good talent. The defense is going to be sneaky this year with Aston Gillote, who's been picked by a lot of people to win the defensive player of the year this upcoming year. Supposed to be a high draft pick. Have three returners returning to a good secondary. So Louisville is one of the first. I've talked about the dark horses of the ACC. They're my first kind of dark horse team. It's like, holy shit, this team just made a mucky 9-win season and made an ACC championship game.
I could see them definitely being that, like, everyone just, like, watching the TV, like, how in the hell could this team get a bye in the college football playoff and maybe Florida State right now?
Yes. No, I could totally see that, too. And the thing is, they got better at quarterback, in my opinion. I mean, they had Jack Plummer last year. Give me a break. Sorry. But Tyler Shaw is a much, much better player coming over from Texas Tech. He does have health concerns. You know, he has to stay healthy. But if Tyler Shaw stays healthy, Louisville has a chance to make a little bit of a run and be that, like, why the hell is number 2 Florida State playing number 23 Louisville in the ACC championship right now?
Yeah, exactly. That could happen, you know. The ACC is that conference that always has, like, a sneaky, like, all right, this team is 7-5. Why are you guys in the championship? So
100%.
It is always right. The ACC. Maybe sometimes, like, now that they've had a title game for a while, like the Big 12, but it's traditionally been the ACC.
Definitely has. Well, let's go to another traditional powerhouse, but I looked this up. Miami, since joining the ACC, has had one 10-win or one 11-win season. Since joining the ACC in 2004.
I remember because that is, when they joined the ACC was a really when I started getting into college football, and I thought that they were going to, like, win it every year. I was like, oh, them and Florida State are going to just crush it. And they, it has been,
it's been
a
tough.
Downward. It's been a down. It's crazy that they haven't, and, like, even.
I mean, that's why they hired. No, they haven't. They made a New Year's Six game like a few years ago, but they haven't. They've never made the conference title game this year, and they hit Mario Cristobal hit the transfer portal hard to see if they can get it done this year. They got what I think is one of the best QBs in the country, Cam Ward, over from Washington State. They added Damian Martinez, who did have a DUI last year. Maybe he should have been playing for Mike Gundy. Same colors at Oregon State. So he transferred over from Oregon State. Great running back. And they have a lot of individual talent on that defensive side. But it's the question that has plagued Miami for 20 years, Zach. It's, can talent meet expectations? Because Miami usually has had some of the most talented teams in the ACC, but they haven't had the most successful seasons in terms of wins.
I think Miami, and we've discussed, there's various programs like this that, like, you just have to let. For Miami, what you need to do is you just have to, the bad comes with the good. You know, at Miami, if you're going to be good, you got to look at it and be like, all right, I got about a 5 to 6 year stretch here where we're going to be really good. And then all the, what is it, the seventh floor crew, the maybe, like, everybody is selling Coke on the team. Like, you know,
potentially.
It's coming with Miami.
No, I mean, like, those are things that literally happened at Miami, like, the seventh floor clue. I mean, it's been crazy, you know, Miami. And it's Miami is, I read an interesting article and I was reading up on them, and it kind of made me rethink them. And it compared trying to rebuild Miami more to, like, trying to rebuild an SMU or a Syracuse rather than building a Florida State, because Miami is a small private school. That really, like, it's crazy. They don't play on campus. And, you know, their win total this year is 9.5. I definitely think they have the talent to be one of the top two teams. But it's just, you know how Nebraska's? Miami seems to Miami. That 2001 BCS championship game in the Rose Bowl is cursed.
And, like, Miami, like, what's weird about them is they, in my opinion at least, play in the most – talent rich place in the nation. Like, there's so many good football players in the state of Florida, but they just haven't, you know. And I'm like, I'm half joking when I say, like, just let them be off the chains. But Miami's kind of at their best when they're player led teams. Like, any of those the U documentaries you watch are like, oh yeah, you know. Like, Larry Coker, like, kind of let us do whatever we wanted. But, like, and, like, I mean, player led to where there's still accountability. But, you know who didn't get in trouble when he took his helmet off after running back a touchdown? Devin Hester. Like, you need something like that going on where Miami is, like, the cocky, like, in your face type team. I think play to, like, that's just how Miami. Embrace it. Embrace your Miami. And when Miami's good, people hate them. Like, that's the first game I remember watching was Miami, Ohio State, and people, like, despised Miami. And
it makes sense. I mean, they want to get back to their glory days a little bit, and we'll see in our predictions. Maybe they will come up as one of the teams. We're gonna move on to the U. It's all about the U. Great song. Actually, before we move on to North Carolina, shout out Uncle Luke. Great It's All About the U song. And shout out Trick Daddy for his version of the U song. Possibly better, in my opinion. Great, great songs to have about a college. But we're going to move on to North Carolina. And Mac Brown led North Carolina. How about that? My thing about North Carolina is that in a team full of really bad teams, and good teams, they're kind of on that bottom of the dark horse pack. Like, are they a dark horse or are they a Gasparilla Bowl team?
North Carolina will be either 8-5 or 10-3. That is you know, even if they get up to 10-1 and there's, oh, North Carolina playoff contender, they'll end up like losing
two games in a row. Yep.
Yeah. And then getting blown out if they make the ACC championship game.
No, they were.
There's always like a 65-58 loss in there for North Carolina. It's like a Mac Brown thing too.
Yep.
Like he won his national championship at Texas, but there is always like a, how did you lose it? Like your Texas, how did you lose this game to Kansas or Kansas State? Like, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. And it'd always be like 41-38.
Yeah. It is the Mac Brown effect. But I mean, they have one of the top, most underrated running backs in the conference, Omarion Hampton, who could just explode. You know, the ACC's got a lot of great running backs this year, which I'm excited for. A lot of great running backs that we've already talked about. And the one thing that doesn't excite me, although excites me, because whether he's really good, awesome, I love good football. And if he's really bad, funniest meme ever, Max Johnson could be their quarterback now from Texas A&M.
Super yeah, that's true. He's super, another one that fun. Just keeps hanging around. Just keeps Dude, hanging around.
They do. And it's hopefully we only have a couple more years of that and the COVID goes away. But North Carolina, I see another solid year for them. Maybe not playoff level, but solid year. A team that a lot of people have picked for the playoffs, though, is their rivals, NC State, who has become a trendy pick for the ACC title game. And I think it comes down to, you know, they won some games late last year, and they just picked up Grayson McCall, Coastal Carolina quarterback. A lot of people thought he was going to enter the portal last transfer cycle. Enters it this year for his sixth year. Another guy who you said keeps hanging around. But he's good, and if they can power through the early part of their schedule, things really start to open up on that back end. I mean, if you want to take a look at it, but I'm high on NC State this year.
Let me see. The ACC is so full of these schools. Like, they're just, like, you kind of forget about them, but they've had, like, really good years past, like, wasn't NC State under Ryan Finley like 10-2 one year? Not that long. Like,
yeah, they've been
pretty good there.
They've been all right. I think this is the year that they're hopefully trying to take like that next step, but it just hasn't happened. I feel like they've sat at like that 8-win kind of thing. Like I can't even put a word to it right now, but it's like that 8-win mark that they just can't seem to surpass. But they could this year. They're a trendy pick for a lot of experts out there. Well,
and they're like it's always weird to me because I kind of feel bad for coaches like him, because you would think like A&M or maybe even Miami, Nebraska, like some of these schools would like look around at a guy like that and be like, you know, he's obviously like he hadn't like made the playoff or anything like that at NC State, but. To like, I mean, I'm looking at the schedule right now. He has a couple. He has 1-3-win season and 1-4-win season. But other than that, 8, couple sevens, a bunch of nines. Like, he obviously knows how to win at a place where they are nowhere even close to being the top in the conference in terms of recruiting. But it's kind of the same thing with like their basketball team. Like, their best, like. No one ever really talks about their basketball coaches either. So I would love to see NC State make a run. I think it'd be hilarious.
I would love it too. I would love it too. Yeah. Grayson McCall and his bib mouth card. Love that. I love him.
And Dave Duran is only 52. I had no idea that he was only 52 years old. It seems like he has been there a while because he was in Northern Illinois with Jordan Lynch.
That's an awesome fun fact. I did not know that. I did not know that. But let's move on.
I didn't remember that until I just looked at his Wikipedia.
That's super, super awesome. You know what's not super, super awesome is Pitt's quarterback situation. It was really bad last year. And Pat Narduzzi, he believes Nate Yarnell is the guy and is going to improve from their quarterback play last year. And they picked up this new OC, Zuch. Cade Bell from I think Western Carolina, and he runs a no huddle offense, and he's brought two receivers over from them. So Pitt is completely trying to reinvent an offense that was a little iffy last year. Like, they are going all in, trying to run running gun, and I'm going to see. I mean, Pitt's one of those schools where they could literally win one game, and I would not bat an eye, and they could be in the ACC championship, and I go, oh, yeah, it makes sense. You know, pretty good program.
And this is what I mean. Okay, so I'm just going to go to, while we're talking about Pitt, there have been okay, so last year you had Louisville in it, right?
Yeah.
Who ended with 4 losses.
Classic.
And then the year before, I was going to do a couple of these. North Carolina ended with 5. The year before that, you had, okay, that's so Wake Forest and Pitt in the
yes.
ACC championship. Wake Forest ended with 3 losses. Clemson, that was a weird one too. Forgot about, and maybe we should have, should we have included Notre Dame in this one?
No, we'll talk about Notre Dame in our next week in our group of 5/independence. So for all the fans of Navy football next week, oh yeah, I'm going to talk a little bit about the service academies. And by a little bit, I mean maybe 30 seconds or something. I don't know. But it'll be talked about.
2019, Virginia had 5 losses and was in it. 2018, Pitt was back in it with 6. Okay, that's pathetic. 6 losses and they were in the ACC championship.
Well, that's when the ACC had divisions too, which was just brutal.
Yeah, and it goes to our point that like it, and like without the divisions, it's going to be kind of hard, I would think, to have. But not, I mean, even without the divisions, if you have, because they only play 8 conference games still, right?
Yeah, I think so.
So you
not
still
sure.
have those
Don't take my word
4
for it.
You still have those 4 non-conference games. So I could totally see, like, excuse me, going 6-2. Like, let's see here. 1, 2. Yeah, they have 4 non-conference games. So I could totally see you're 6-2 in the conference, but 2-2 outside of it.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, that's the ACC. Like we said at the beginning of the show. This is where your 4 loss, which I want it to happen. I want it so badly to like
four loss playoff bye. Playoff bye. No, we hope it. One of these schools needs to happen. It has to happen. All right. Well, good luck, Pittsburgh, and good luck, Pat Narduzzi. Sorry, we kind of use your time just to talk about the ACC as a whole. But we're going to talk about a new team in the ACC. It's the SMU Mustangs. The Pony Express, and I wrote down a quote for SMU, Zuch, and it's my quote, is, hype is a double-edged sword. I don't think anyone believes in themselves in the country more than SMU believes in themselves right now. They think they deserve this. They have put money into this program like they are the big boys. They got some transfer portal talent. They returned a stellar offense last year. They think that they have a chance to make a splash and win the ACC in their first year. Is that a true statement, or are SMU fans being delusional?
I think they have a very good shot at. I like Rhett Lashley personally. I like what he's done there. And I think that they were a program who is kind of waiting. Excuse me, I've had a runny nose the past couple of days, and it's coming back up on me. I don't know if people wanted to hear that, but they know now. I think they were kind of – a program was kind of waiting on this NIL stuff because they do have some pretty – like, I mean, they have, like, that oil money type thing, which is a lot of money that's not
they
going
so
anywhere
much.
Anytime soon.
They do.
Like, they will
no,
– I could see,
good,
like,
man.
I could see a maybe a terrorist attack from an SMU booster on the Tesla – what is it? Cybertruck?
Like, yeah, the Cybertruck
one. If like Cybertruck did a NIL deal with like the University of Houston, watch your back because the SMU boosters are coming. But no, and being serious, I like SMU. I think they're kind of a fun team because like everything I've read about them, they're like kind of preppy, like a preppy university.
Oh, 100%.
I know a bunch
preppy.
Of like former athletes' kids go there, which makes it hilarious.
Yeah,
I
no,
see a bunch
it's
former NHLers. Their kids go there.
No, it's a very affluent school, and SMU. You know, this is a team that won the American last year, 17th ranked defense in the country, one of the top performing offense in the country. Now, if you're an SMU doubter, the last thing I'll say about SMU is that I have a, think they have a chance to smash their win total at 8.5. Definitely think they can get to 9-10 wins this year. Only thing of doubt that's in their mind is they struggled versus Power Fives. They struggled. Three games that they struggled in Zoot. You can look it up from last year. Oklahoma, our boy Sonny Dykes, TCU, and Boston College. Three games the offense struggled in, three Power 5 teams. Now they're entering a Power 5 conference. We're going to see if they hopefully fix that learning curve before that first game, because if they don't, it's going to vindicate a lot of haters.
It's going to be interesting. I hope SMU does good. They are who I'm not saying who I think is going to be in it yet, but they are who I want to win the ACC, because I think it would hilarious to have SMU be good.
And we're going to move on to another program that, if they were maybe in their heyday, would make the ACC probably a potentially the top conference. If Stanford was still in the Jim Harbaugh prime David Shaw years, the ACC would have added a player. Unfortunately, Troy Taylor's in year two of what seems to be a long rebuild. And in this modern era of college football where, you know, Dabo's trying to do it, but he's not really transfer, but he's doing it by choice, and they still have huge NIL. Stanford has yet to really embrace anything and can't get transfers because of academics, and it's been tough for them, Zuch, and I see another tough year coming up with their schedule.
They are also, whoever designed their cornerbacks in NCAA 25 needs to be held responsible, because I was playing them because I'm using SMU in my dynasty right now, and I just ran like four birds like eight times in a row, and it worked every time.
So, this was a defense that was 129th in the nation last year in total defense. 129th. Only four teams were worse. And honestly, the last thing I'm going to say about Stanford, because I don't think there's much to say about them this year, is just beat Cal. Honestly, I hate to be like, your whole season comes down to one game, but just that should be your goal, is to beat Cal. And it sucks to say that, but just beat Cal. That's your goal.
Beat Cal. Run, like, say we run the ACC in the West.
That's a
good season.
All right. And now we're going to be moving over to a new era at Syracuse in the Dome, the Carrier Dome, baby. Fran Brown takes over from Dino Babers. I was corrected in the comments. Dino Babers apparently is the offensive coach, or like a defensive assistant. Wasn't the DC. Got that completely wrong. Someone called me out. Thank you. This is why the listeners are smarter than me. But Kyle McCord, can this be a fresh start for him, Zuch?
No.
No, come on.
I think it can be. Ohio State is a toxic fan base. They have coaches. The whole place of Ohio is toxic. The air quality, the coaches who like to yell at old men who are retired coaches.
That is true.
That's
yes.
Where they play in India.
Maybe certain hosts on the Pat McAfee show who like never really speak, and it's just like, hey, you're just kind of staring into my soul and like sucking the soul out of me, like Indiana Jones, like Raiders of the Lost Ark, maybe. But you don't think, you know, they got a real easy schedule though. No FSU or Clemson on their schedule. That's their one saving grace. Or I guess two.
Yeah, they're just in a weird, like, I feel like they're so weird, because I feel like every time they hire a coach, like a year or two in, that coach has like 10 wins and they get a lot of hype, and then after that it's just like going down a water slide. Like, it just
it makes sense.
Worse, and then you just hit the wave.
No, that makes sense. No, I mean, their win total is at 7.5 wins, and I think that's right on the money. I see this team as a 7-win team. Maybe if they can pull a little upset, get to that 8 wins, I think making a good bowl, you know, having a start. I don't think Kyle McCord is bad, but do I see him elevating a Syracuse team to an ACC title game? I don't see that this year. You know, maybe next year if they attack the portal and he gets better, but this year I think is a year to like kind of build, you know, get that 7 wins, you know,
yeah, and be patient,
get a free trip to Nashville or something. I don't know. playing a cool bowl game, go to the Bahamas or something. That should be their goal. That should be their
goal. Get out of Syracuse in the winter.
It's for real. For real. Knowing this, they're going to play in the Pinstripe Bowl, and they're going to be pissed. At least a lot of their alumni can go. But we're going to move on to the Virginia Cavaliers. And this is a team, Zuch, I looked this up, lost 5 games by a touchdown or less last year. So they were in a lot of games that just didn't go their way. The offense should be okay, but the defense was dead last in the ACC last year. Not good. Can't have a bad defense if you want to win games. Virginia, this is just a team that they're still young. They returned a lot of guys, but it's not at the level of even the people, the team we're going to talk about next that's in their state. But it's kind of one of those teams like Georgia Tech where it's like, man, you want them to be good. They seem like a program that does the right things. It's just you don't know if the talent is there yet this year.
No, they kind of got screwed a little bit by Bronco Mendenhall. That was out of nowhere when he left. So, that area is so weird, the Commonwealth, as it's called, because they don't.
The DMV.
They can't figure out, are they east? Are they on the East Coast? Are they South? They're kind of both, but I don't even know how to describe them, if I'm being completely honest with you. So I would say for them, try to get to a bowl game.
Win total's at 4.5. You think that's fair? Quick pick. 4.5, over or under?
I'll say over. They'll get a couple non-con wins and then a couple
fair.
Afterwards.
Fair. We're going to move on to the team, the Enter Sandman team, who they need to get that song. EA needs to get that song in NCAA 25 ASAP to make that entrance just way more epic.
A certain Oklahoma fan we know, every time they somehow get brought up, has to let everybody know they have the best entrance in all of college football.
Maybe. And maybe that certain Oklahoma fan is also, I guess, technically one of our co-workers here at Settle Down Media and hosts a podcast that airs every Mondays. And maybe talks about fishing, and maybe his name's Cody. But Virginia Tech, great entrance, and they're expected to have a great year this year. You know, this is a team that was down on their luck last year. You know, maybe, Virginia Tech football might be dead. And they won 5 out of their last 7 games and finished the year strong. And they return everyone, or essentially almost everyone. Kion Drones, the quarterback, returns. They return most of the people in their defense that was top 20 last year in the country, and they returned most of their offense. This is a team that was bowl eligible, returned their quarterback, returns their coach. This could be primed, you know, we're Boise State fans where it's like, oh man, like we really ended the year strong. And a lot of our listeners I know are from Boise. It's like Virginia Tech is an ACC Boise, but has a better chance at being good because they have a more clear path to the college football playoff because they just have so much returning talent.
Yeah, they're who I pick as my dark horse because ton of returning talent kind of flying under the radar, especially with new teams being added to that conference. So I'm excited to see what they do. I think it would be fun for Virginia Tech to be relatively good again. They were... for a long time,
I think they would be good too, and it has been tough. And last thing I'll say about Virginia Tech is the expectations are high, and I'll tell you for a couple reasons. They need to be good ASAP, and I want you to put your tinfoil hat on real quick, because with conference realignment, we don't know what the ACC is really going to look like. You know, they have that TV deal, but there are a couple schools that are actively trying to get out of it. And Virginia Tech, they need to start doing good now. Because, you know, you got the 3 like kind of powerhouses, you know, Clemson, Miami, Florida State. You know, those teams are big. Then you have the little basketball trio of the Carolinas. You got Duke, NC State, and North Carolina kind of shacked up, right? So there might be a package deal. And you got Virginia Tech, who has a good history of football, but it's like they're not to the level of Florida State, Miami. They don't have a basketball program that can really supplement. So it's like they got to do good now to assert themselves in this new era.
Yeah, it's they're one of many teams, I would say, that because I know that there's been a lot of talk lately of ACE, like what's going to happen in the ACC. I really don't think that a lot of those teams in that conference have anything to worry about going forward. Like there's the 12-team playoff. I really don't think you can go to just Big Ten, SEC. Like you could, and people would still watch it, but I don't. You're cutting a lot of people out at that point in time. Like I understand there's a lot of Michigan and Alabama and Auburn, but there's also a lot of Florida State fans. There's a lot of like Duke is a huge program.
There's a lot of North Carolina fans. Yeah, that's a huge state school. Yeah. Like people forget, like that's the prime school. People forget that Virginia Tech is a huge school. People forget that Syracuse is a huge school with huge fan bases on the East Coast.
You don't like it, they're not thought about as much because you know, the University of Virginia, besides that basketball national championship, and I think they're actually pretty good at, like, lacrosse and stuff like that.
Oh, they run like lacrosse. Actually, the ACC runs lacrosse. The ACC needs to invest, you know, maybe in 30 years when, like, no one allows their kid to play football, like, the ACC is just the power conference.
See, ACC thinking long-term, that's why they added Cal, because when I couldn't sleep the other night, I somehow ended up on A Day in the Life of a Cal Swimmer.
Yes.
They dominate swimming and diving. They're here to stay. So
the Cal, you know, those Northern California schools, you know, they aren't good at the sports that make money, but damn it, if you need a water polo championship or a field hockey championship, Cal and Stanford are who you call. But back to Virginia Tech, I think they're gonna have a good year this year. That 8.5 win total, it's going to cut it close because they got a little bit of a tougher schedule, but I'm really excited to see what VTech does. We're going to move on to the last team, the Wake Forest Demon Deacons. And there was a fact that I forgot about Wake Forest up until very recently. And I don't know if you know this, but this is another team like Stanford that I think struggling with a new era, especially post Sam Hartman. The transfer portal, you know, Wake Forest is the smallest Division I school in the country, even smaller than TCU in terms of student undergrad population. The quarterback is either going to be Michael Kern, who's been there 5 years, hasn't really done anything, or our good old boy, Hank Bachmeier, in his sixth year or fifth year of college football, third school. Hank Bachmeier could be the coach of Wake Forest. I will be speechless. I hope Hank does well. I think Hank will be the starter. I think he's better than any of their options. But I don't know. I mean, is it fair to say now that enough time has passed, it's been a whole offseason, that the Hank Bachmeier experience at Louisiana Tech was underperforming as advertised?
Yeah, and like I always said, while that guy was there and no one – like, really, besides you, ever wanted to, like, hear it. I always kind of thought with that guy, I was like, you know, this doesn't really make any sense because he was really good that freshman year. Like, coming – and I don't care if Florida State was 0-12. I know they were 5-7 that year. But as a freshman opening game playing at Florida State and throwing for, like, 400 and however many yards it was, like, that means you're pretty, like, good. I don't care what anyone says.
He's talented.
I just always thought with that guy that it was a lot more, and I kind of thought it with Tim Plow. Like, I thought there was a lot more behind-the-scenes stuff going on that, like, maybe people didn't see that contributed a little bit to – and, like, for a while – and we can talk about that more next week. But for a while – people wanted to blame those guys, and I was like, well, you know, the head coach is kind of making these decisions. Like, he might not be giving them like the full opportunity to be what they want to be on offense.
I thought that
for a while, and then Louisiana Tech, he wasn't great at, but he was also injured, which has been another thing for him. that I think has played into it is he has been hurt quite a bit. Like he got hurt his first year.
He's kind of hurt. It's kind of been tough for him, man. It's because he does have the talent. He's a four-star for a reason, but like you said, I think the success has like it plateaued high, but it plateaued early, and you just haven't seen that next level. And maybe Wake Forest is the opportunity for him. You know, they're just resurgent. You know, their defense isn't bad, offense it's not bad, but it's like their win total is at 4.5 wins. It's like there's so many other better teams this year, but you know, I think if Hank can pull this team from the gutter and make a bowl game. There's a lot of teams that just like if they make a bowl game, but I truly think if Hank, who I think, like I said, we're doing this before a starter's named in fall camp, but I think if Hank can lead them to a bowl game, it would be a huge win and almost kind of like a nice cap to end a up and down career for Mr. Bachmeier.
For Hank, yeah. It got a little bit heated, we shall say.
No, I've been I've been a critic of Hank.
I have too.
Said some stuff, and look, there's some stuff. No, yeah, there's some decisions where you see Hank. It's like, oh my gosh, this guy is the second coming of Derek Carr, or like the second coming of Phillip Rivers. You know, a guy who stands in the pocket and delivers a throw. You're like, holy moly! And there's sometimes where it's like, did you watch film this week? Like, why is that ball getting thrown up? This isn't junior varsity football. And you just constantly go back and forth. And you're like, oh my goodness. You just constantly go back and forth. But then there are sometimes, just before you say anything, there are some times where it's like, what the hell was that play call? So like it's just a constant between those three things with Hank, in my opinion.
Well, and a perfect example of it is we both went to Boise State, right? So last year, I want to say it was week 0, maybe it was week 1. But Louisiana Tech was one of the first games on. It had to have been week 0 because they had like the FS1 spot or something.
Oh,
like
yeah,
that.
I remember that. That was the bubble screen game.
Yeah. So Hank makes like 3 or 4 good passes in a row. And in the group chat we're in where we all talk about like whatever, mainly sports, I was like, don't worry, Hank passing a double cover, this is incoming. And what, like 10 seconds after that, yeah. He lost one up, and you're just like, come on, Hank.
Oh,
like,
my gosh. No,
you were doing so well, but
it's just he does so well, and it's like sometimes you'll make a decision, you're like, man, that's disappointing. But, you know, like I said, fresh start this year again. Hopefully he can get some things straightened out, but Wake Forest, I see their ceiling just as a 6-7 win team, make a bowl game, have a good time. But we will move on. That is all of our singles team previews. We have now previewed every Power 4 team in the country now, which is crazy to think about. But let's move on to our ACC championship predictions. Before we do, I'm going to say again, make sure you subscribe to Settle Down Media on Instagram and YouTube. We got some great stuff. Go follow and watch our other shows too, Hockey, the Good Old Hockey Podcast, In the End Zone, and our new show, This About That with Tyler and Cody. So now that I got those ad reads out of the way, I guess, title game predictions. I think you went last week, so I'll go this week first. I have Florida State playing Clemson with, oh my gosh, I can't believe I'm going to say this. I think Dabo gives a middle finger to everyone and Clemson wins it. I just have that gut feeling. I know I shouldn't. You know, I was going back and forth on, is K Klubnik going to have a good year or not? And I was like, does he even have to have a great year? I think Clemson has like a year almost as to like J.J. McCarthy early years where Cade, like he plays good, but everyone shits on him, but he's winning. I think that's what happens with Clemson this year.
Okay. So I'm trying to think. So are we going to do that? So we're 3 weeks from college football now, right?
It starts from college
3 weeks,
football.
We have week 0 because it starts at 24. So are we doing – is it next week we're going to do the Mountain West one, or are we going to wait 2 weeks?
I think we're going to do 2 weeks, just watch the week 0 games, and then our first weekly show will be post week 0 going into week 1.
Okay, and that's when we're going to have, like, are we going to do our playoff predictions and
oh, all yeah, that we'll stuff. Do playoff prediction. Yeah, we'll talk a little bit about that. That show will be maybe 5 minutes of the funny stuff we saw in week zero. We'll go playoff prediction.
Okay.
And that's, we'll go big-time matchups, yeah.
I just don't want to give too much away. So I have, in my ACC title game, the Miami Hurricanes playing the Clemson Tigers.
All right.
I'm going to go. I'm going to go with Miami winning. And I'm going to, you know what, I'm going to throw this out there. I can look like an idiot and a certain propaganda minister can use this against me. I think Clemson's going to beat Georgia in week one. I really do. I think that's a 10 a.m. game.
Wow. You know, Kirby is known to scour the internet for, you know, not national outlets for news.
I think Clemson is going to
Carson Beck. If you're seeing this, what's up? Great, big fan. Watch your Snapchats, though. Watch those Snapchats.
I think that game will at least be close. I think it's going to be one of those three: Clemson, Miami, Florida State. But I guess I'm going to go with Miami and Clemson. I almost went Miami, Florida State, but I'll go Miami and Clemson this time around. And I think Clemson's going to have a very good year and surprise people.
I also think they're going to surprise people. Now let's go to our single-player award. So Offensive Player of the Year, Defensive Player of the Year, and Newcomer of the Year. My Offensive Player of the Year, hyped him up a little bit in our Miami segment. I do think it is going to be Cam Ward, quarterback for the Miami Hurricanes. Obviously. Gave my title game prediction. I think Miami does have a good year, though, and is in that third or fourth spot, still ranked throughout the year. There'll be a moment where they'll be high. I think other Miami aspects kind of caused them to falter a little bit and not get to that title spot, but I think Cam Ward has a great year. Because he's a transfer, it also means he is also my newcomer of the year. Cam Ward, newcomer of the year as well.
So I have a question concerning the ACC. Say Clemson does win that, right? Let's say they beat Georgia, and let's say they lose to, I mean, actually look at everyone's stuff, and this probably, like I said, this all this stuff plays out how it's supposed to, but like let's say they beat Georgia, lose to Florida State, and Florida State loses to Miami, so they're all 7-1 or whatever it would be. And it's Florida State and Miami in that ACC championship game, right? They play each other again because they're like, oh, you know, well, Florida State beat Clemson and they lost to Miami. And I don't think Clemson plays Miami this year.
Are you going where I'm thinking where there's going to be three ACC teams in there?
So who do you think at that point, do you think that a 11-1 Clemson, we all think Georgia's going to be good, probably going to win the SEC.
It all depends. It all depends on the other conferences. I can see where you're going. I think it all depends on the other conferences. What if what if the Big 12 becomes a two-bid league, or the Big 10 becomes a two-bid league, like or the Big 10 only becomes a three-bid league, like Michigan or Penn State or Oregon kind of poo the bed and it becomes one of those leagues. An 11-1 Clemson or 11-1, an 11-1 Clemson is going to be tough to leave out. An 11-1 Miami, I could see being easier to leave out than an 11-1 Clemson or 11-1 Florida State. Just the way that the politics and the voting and stuff works.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. Like, we're going to know a lot about the ACC in week one, I think.
We are.
That's how I'll finish my, like,
all right,
my side of things up, because Miami plays Florida, Clemson plays Georgia, Florida State plays in week zero. I forgot about that, but
yeah, they play in are they playing in the Dublin, Ireland game?
Yep.
Who are they playing?
Are they like ran out of alcohol? They're playing Georgia Tech.
God help them. But hopefully, come on, Georgia Tech, a big upset. Here we go, baby. But yeah, Zuch, who is your newcomer and defensive player of the year?
I really struggled with defense because I just could not think of any like great new, like the ACC, like besides Clemson.
Oh, I just like my thought process for defensive player was just very simple because I struggled as well. I went, what's the position that that usually wins? And it's kind of been a common thing. Defensive end, edge rusher. So I go, all right, let me look at the edge rushers. Well, who was really good at rushing the passer last year? Well, Florida State. They had two guys drafted. And my defensive player of the year is going to be Patrick Payton, defensive end, Florida State. He was opposite of Jared Verse last year. I think he takes a big step up this year. Patrick Payton, defensive player of the year in the ACC.
Patrick Payton. It was I was looking at him. But, you know, I'm high on Kirby this year, so I'm going to go R.J. Mickens.
R.J. Mickens. R.J. Mickens.
From Clemson. Newcomer.
I mean, if Cam Ward's winning your offensive, does he just win the newcomer too?
I'll give him newcomer. It's like a
Dillon Gabriel situation where it's like,
yeah,
it's what, yeah. No, I did. And now one of our favorite things, the disappointment of the year, could be a player, could be a team. Zuch, who is your ACC disappointment of the year?
ACC disappointment of the year. I hate to do it, too. I'm going to give it to Brent Pry. Like, I think they should be. Like, I think it's going to be disappointing in a they'll be close but just miss out on, like, having a really good season.
You think so? What do you think goes wrong for them?
I just think the ACC is underratedly going to be, like, there's not a ton of, like, horrible team. Like, there's, you know, you look at the Big Ten or Big 12 or really even the SEC, and, you know, Vanderbilt's really, really bad. Indiana's usually pretty bad. Arizona State's been bad. You look at the ACC and, like, I guess every once in a while Louisville's been bad and Duke's been bad before, but there's, to me, not really that Georgia Tech. There's not many teams on that schedule that you look at and you're like, oh, that's going to be an easy win. So
yeah, no, their VTech schedule is tough. Yeah,
I just think they could be sitting at. Let me pull up their schedule just to reassure my. I think they could, like, Vanderbilt, Marshall, Old Dominion, Rutgers. Like, say they, even if they, like, beat Miami, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think they could, like, lose to Clemson and, like, have, like, hey, we have one or two losses. Like, this is going great. And then lose to Duke or Virginia, and it knocks you out of the playoffs. And, like,
yeah,
you end up being a disappointment because you're 8-1 or 9-1 and finish with 3 or 4 losses, but you still had a really good season.
No, that makes sense. My disappointment of the year, it's going to be – I don't want to do this because I hate doing players. I've done teams so far, but this one I think is going to be disappointing because I think – not that he'll be bad, but I think he's not going to be what the fan base hopes it's going to be from him, and that's Kyle McCord at Syracuse. I don't even think Kyle McCord's going to have a bad year, but I think Syracuse fans are expecting him to literally be CJ Stroud. Like, they think that he is, like, the savior of Syracuse football, and what Kyle McCord is a pretty good quarterback who's serviceable and can make plays with the talented roster around him, just like he did at Ohio State. And he took him to a New Year's Six bowl game, almost beat Michigan. That's what Kyle McCord can do, right, at least now. Maybe he'll get better. Like I say, with all the disappointments, maybe you prove me wrong and I'm an ass. So we'll leave it at that. But, man, the ACC is fun to talk about. You got anything, any other last little bits about the ACC? Or should we just call it the CC? Because like we said, you can see the Pacific Ocean from one of the schools.
Their theme song should just be the oh, what is that? What is that song we learned in, like, elementary school that, like, this land is
from
my
California,
land?
From California, yeah. This land is your land, this land is my land. From California to the New York Island, or whatever it is.
It's true. Like, they literally go from California to New York.
That's crazy.
They have teams in the Bay Area, and they have teams in Syracuse, New York. So
that's insane. They have a team in the Bay Area, and they have a team in the Boston Bay Area, the Harbor, the Haba. Is it? Do the people from Boston get mad if I also? Oh, more unlike any other fan, this is going to be some of the most weirdest interactions. Miami is playing at Cal Berkeley. This is it. That's the last thing I'll say about the ACC. That's not going to go well. That's not going well.
Well, what's going to go? What is going to go worse, that or Cal fans being in the Auburn this year in the Plains?
That's going to be bad. But I think luckily Cal, that'll be A, early enough in the season that like people will be fired up. B, they had Auburn come to them last year, so I think a lot of the people are like, all right, like we know a little bit. And Auburn, you know, they're generally speaking, we know they're crazy, but the SEC, it is still Southern hospitality until game starts, right? If you stay in the right tailgating areas, you know, I mean, you stay away from the frat houses, stay away from the complete, stay away from the PFG guys, stay away. Actually, no, you want to hang out with the PFG guys. Hang out with the PFG guys. You got to stay away from the Johnny OQZ guys. Stay in the all the way button up guys. That's what you have to stay away.
All the way button up, like checkerboard. Auburn.
Loafers, everything. You want to be hanging out with the PFG Gray New Balance guys. Also, if there's any members of the Burnerverse who are listening, cool it, because your tweets have been reaching an audience. You know, I have seen the Burnerverse, and it's reaching an audience, and I've been seeing too much of it, and you guys are starting to go too far. And if you don't know what the Burnerverse is, you don't know what I'm talking about, congratulations. You are not chronically online for college sports in college. So, yeah, that's all I got. We're going to end it with me giving a warning to the Burnerverse to not get their account suspended. But, yeah, that's all we got. Thank you, everyone, for listening. We really do appreciate it. Makes it a lot better whether you're viewing the actual shows itself, whether you're listening to a specific team, whether you want the predictions, whether you're watching our clips on Instagram and YouTube. Thank you guys. Really means a lot when you guys do, especially when you guys subscribe. Really, really appreciate it. I know Zach feels the same way.
Every day. Love our guys.
Every day, baby. All right. Well, if my Sunny Dykes ball, I didn't launch across the room after Cal fired me up, I would show it. But thank you guys, and we will see you again in 2 weeks.